News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are here. Good morning. And we are talking today on the 16th of January, 2021. About the El Paso Historic District called Sunset Heights. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, everyone. Hope everybody's doing well.
And we got another guy in the shot this morning, and that's Bernie Sargent. Hey, Bernie.
Hello.
Hi, Bernie.
Hello.
How are you?
Welcome here, dude. We got the history show going on as we do on Saturday mornings. It's live on KTSM AM 690, and that's in El Paso. And it's also streaming live on our Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show, and streaming live on the Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When. And this is the place where we say Texas history begins in El Paso. And you're going to have to turn around to say hello to these people.
Oh, that's right. Hello. You're just
TV.
Looking at the back of my head today.
There
so it's like, look at my head.
Does that's
my
a
hair,
wide
my
shot.
Hair look
look,
good?
At, look
okay.
at us.
No, so you can also, don't forget, you can listen to us at ktsmradio.com and listen to us live anywhere in the U.S. So there's all kinds of way to catch up with us now.
A lot of neat stuff going on here. We got Pepe's open today for inside dining. Also, takeout. They're in Canyatillo, 877-2152.
I'm so sorry.
In the new year.
In the new year, I am lost. I'm sorry. I was looking at Barbara Given Bainey's comments to me. I'm so sorry.
You can do this.
And
I've seen you do this before.
I've lost my
page. Well, anyway, the new year, Mission Del Rey Southwest, they're now open on Saturdays. That's the point.
Oh, there it is.
And today, the weekly $20 Ritter coupon still holds on for online orders. And what's the phone number to find them?
That phone number is
440.
I'm totally lost this morning.
Apparently
I'm sorry.
You are.
I put my wrong scripts up.
You want to turn around, come back in?
I'll come back in. I'm going to go home, have another cup
Three,
of coffee.
Three, two,
and come
one.
Back.
But they're at missiondelray.com. So do we have a history moment? You know this one.
That one I know. Jeez,
okay.
At least I'm awake for that one. Yes, it's all about an incredible lady, Mabel Welch, the first architect in El Paso. That should be interesting.
Female architect.
I say, that's right, female.
Did you guys, is the bar open at your house early? The Bernie Sargent's sitting here.
At 4 this morning. Yeah, I got some great news.
What's that?
We did it, Derenguito, staying in the historic district.
I just got the word.
You just
Yay!
Got the word in?
Yeah.
Well, tell us what that means, because we're talking today about one particular historic district, but you're talking about another historic district.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, we have 9 historic districts in El Paso County as of today. Now we'll have 10. Because the downtown historic district will include Derenguito, which is really exciting. I have to thank everybody for the hard work and the time they took this morning to go online call in.
So you got noticed by some electronic means.
By electronic means.
From
just,
Austin, Texas.
I just got texted, yes. And 9-0, it's going to go forward.
Wow, so, they finally... So, They helped out.
So the vote was at the Texas Historical Commission.
Yes, the commissioners meet periodically to vote on entries for historic markers, for historic sites, for historic districts. We were the only district that was on the agenda.
All right, explain this while we got this going on here, because today the point is to talk about Sunset Heights. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
That's one of the original historic districts.
Correct.
But you're talking about a new one proposed by the county, originally proposed by the city. The city then came along politically and squashed it after they had it funded.
Yes, they had the bulk of it funded.
And so then they went over the...
They sent the money back to the Texas Historical Commission instead of accepting it.
And why did they do that, Bernie?
There was a little political pressure, I think, that took place that kind of forced the issue, because some of the folks that want to develop the multipurpose center or MPC / arena wanted it to be in that neighborhood. But there was a lot of us who, when we voted for the MPC back in 2012, thought that that was going to be at another location.
Right.
Not 2 blocks from the baseball stadium, which I thought was kind of futile to have it. Now, I know our present mayor, God bless him, he's really committed to use funds that were in the 2012 bond to upgrade the convention center and the Chavez Theater and make that the multipurpose center. So what we were doing is we were proposing this whole district that included Segundo Barrio, Chihuahuita, and Duranguito, adding hundreds of buildings eligible for tax write-offs to the list. And there was again, political pushback from a handful of people that said, no, we want that MPC to go there at Duranguito, destroying all those buildings that could have a very positive impact on our culture. I term it as the mosaic of El Paso existed in that area. In that, initially, there was an Apache settlement in that area. Then it was Ponce de Leon had his ranch, the original ranch there in that area. And along the way, you also had the Chinese American. You also had
the laundry.
And you also had the African American contingency that lived there. You had the Middle Eastern. I mean, it was a melting pot, or as I say, the mosaic of El Paso's culture.
You know, it would be great if they could put that into a cultural district. I think we would have one of the most unique historical cultural districts in the country, if not many other countries.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's the
fantastic
pitch we're making. I mean, I even plotted out the different houses that the city bought initially and then partially destroyed in hopes that they would be deemed unsavable.
Yeah.
That each one of those could be a headquarters for a different culture, like the Mexican-American, Chinese-American, Native-American. That's what we were fighting.
And not to mention the economic benefit of this, because you'll have people, if you're having cultural centers, you'll have people that have little shops that can have coffee shops, gift shops, little education centers, you know, all kinds of different things, plus live down in that district too. Wouldn't there be some buildings that might be able to offer people living over businesses?
Yeah,
which
absolutely
seems to be a really neat trend now.
You know, it's great, because if you look at places like Olvera Street and Old Town in California, that they're packed all the time with visitors.
All right, now the picture we have up, isn't that the Duranguito area?
Yes.
It's the entire
downtown.
Okay. So is that the ballpark right there?
Right.
Okay. All right, so you can see where much of that is right now.
It's a significant piece of property, and it's very significant in that, as I mentioned, all these people, when they do the retrofits on their buildings, the reconditionings and so on, will be eligible for some tax benefits, state and or federal.
So the point being is that they were in the footprint that was going to be the Chosen Ones arena, and now it looks like it may not be, because they're now being designated historic places on the National Register. How does that sound? What's the right terminology?
Well, it'll be a local historic district, but it does not place any encumbrance on the property owners that they have to meet any criteria. But if they meet criteria outlined by the federal government and the state, they will be eligible for up to 45% tax credit on all the work they do on that property.
So now the city owns all of those buildings they took a corner off of.
Right.
What's going to happen to them?
Well, those are the ones we're proposing that they reevaluate, and they make those the cultural hubs for the different communities. As I mentioned, I know that they want to put the Mexican-American Culture Center at the library. Mayor Leister is against that. He wants to be somewhere else. We can dedicate one or two of those buildings for the Mexican-American Culture Center. And then we can, you know, as I mentioned earlier,
let the library be the library.
Yes.
what a thought. So the idea would be to have this area known as Duranguito turn into maybe Old Town El Paso in a way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, why not?
And we need one.
What is wrong with that?
Every study that we've done since 2012, when we found out what was going on, has told us that heritage and cultural tourism attracts more people overnight than a sports venue does. And that's, you know, that we've been held that contention for ever since 2012.
Go down the road of money, because in 2012, the bond issue had X amount of dollars for a multi-purpose cultural center. They didn't tell us that they had in mind a sports arena, but that's what they were thinking all along.
They did
a bait and switch on the voter.
It was pretty much
that way.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was one of those voters. I said, yes, let's do it.
I did too.
They had the DigiWall in that same package.
Yeah. They
and they had the Mexican-American Center.
I knew better. I didn't vote for it.
Well, I went down to one of the meetings, and I got whiff of it pretty quick.
Yeah.
They were not exactly going to do what they were telling us they were going to
do. Well, that was one of the things, too. I went to almost all the public meetings that took place, and it wasn't until just before the actual vote in November of 2012 that they actually mentioned sports. But they didn't advertise sports.
But they posted it late on a Thursday afternoon for a Tuesday meeting.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they all knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
We were surprised, didn't have enough time to people to post. So today's vote, let's recap. The summary is today's vote at the Texas Historical Commission was to allow the county's version of an historic district to have that include that area.
That is correct.
And 11 buildings in there are eligible for register?
At least.
At least 11 buildings are eligible there to register for what?
for historic status, giving them the ability to
get the tax credits
up to 45%.
But on the other hand, what we're ending up with likely here is the largest historic district of, shall we say, Mexican-American heritage, mostly.
Yeah, pretty much.
And black heritage as well.
In the state of Texas.
In the entire state of Texas.
Yeah.
Okay, would that be a tourist magnet, you think?
I absolutely do think so. And if you look at it also, one of my passions is to develop the history of each address. Now, by doing this, you're preventing mass destruction of buildings. You know, if they wanted to go in and, let's say, we want to put a plaza and we want to tear down all these buildings, this will prohibit them from just arbitrarily coming in, they being major investors, and tearing all those buildings down. We can take those buildings that are occupying that property and develop history on each address so that for people going into the future, they can learn about our history in El Paso.
So this could become the cultural center?
It could be.
And not Abraham Chavez?
No. The MPC will be a Chavez. The Mexican-American Culture Center can be in Duranguito.
Oh, my.
There's the MAC, as they call it.
Hallelujah.
And the MPC.
Well,
they want to refurbish the Chavez Center, and I'm not sure exactly what the plan is, but I know that they want to refurbish it.
It needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, it's a beautiful facility, but
I think that one of the big deals was they wanted some additional space they could book with the convention center, and I understand that. They want to just go right across the street, maybe put a skywalk or whatever, and call that more convention space.
Yeah. You could do
I get that.
You could do that with Abraham Chavez.
You could probably do that.
I've seen this in footprints in other buildings we've been to conventions in where they've taken facilities and they've had theaters like that, and then they can convert it down into a convention center.
But also, couldn't they just go right across the skyway to the area that's now the bus stops and turn those into some more convention space?
Yeah.
They need parking. That's one of the problems we have down there, that parking structure. But they could continue it. For instance, there was the old museum that the Churchmen's had.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right across the street.
There.
Yeah, which is right next
parking
to parking.
There also.
Lynx.
Yeah. Lynx, yeah.
Lynx,
Lynx Museum.
Yeah, the old Lynx
okay.
Museum.
Okay, yeah. But the point is you can build parking up or down over there and still put another piece of convention center bookable space.
Yeah, I think...
And I understand why they're thinking that way.
Yeah, I think Lynx actually has about 80 parking spots available.
Well, but the thing is you could build something up or down, like I said.
Sure.
Okay, so back to the idea of historic districts. Shall we introduce the idea of Sunset Heights?
Yeah, that's probably a good
idea.
Let's
take a look at some of the pictures here of Sunset Heights that you provided. And Sunset Heights, was it the original or one of the original historic districts?
No, it's not one of the originals. There were some older ones than Sunset Heights, and I can talk about those as we go. But Sunset Heights attracts a lot of attention because of its proximity to downtown.
All right, we're going to get the picture up here in a second. And the idea is, I mean, here's the thing. We're looking at a monitor that's 30 seconds plus behind what's actually going out. So that makes this an interesting challenge.
So that's why most of us have trouble this morning with getting started.
See, there it is.
Yes,
my brain's 60 minutes
you
behind.
You were on a delay.
I know. My brain's 60 minutes behind.
Yeah, but okay. So what we have here on the screen now is overlooking El Paso from Sunset Heights.
Correct.
And
yeah.
I love this picture, courtesy El Paso County Historical Society.
Yeah.
And as we're looking at that picture, you have on the left-hand side a little graveyard area.
Yeah, that was called Campo Santo.
That is.
That was the original.
Yeah, I've not seen that.
Supposedly the first graveyard in El Paso.
What is that location today?
Baseball stadium.
That's the baseball stadium.
Oh, my God. It's haunted.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Angels in the outfield.
Now, is that the plaza, plaza right down there in the middle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an interesting picture. I'm really happy to find that and see that. I've had that for a couple of years. You know, some of the original people that came to El Paso, gringos or Anglos, were buried at the Campo Santo. Now, they were eventually moved when Sutterthwaite, who was the gentleman who developed...
You're going to say that like Daffy Duck every time, aren't you?
I know, it's tough on...
Sutterthwaite.
Sutterthwaite.
The guy didn't know how to spell his own name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But prior to him coming to town, that hill was present, and part of what he did was level that hill.
Oh, here's how he leveled it. Look at this.
Yeah.
They've got
yeah.
mules on this picture pulling plows.
Yeah, they said they had approximately...
Scrapers.
They had approximately 10 teams of mules.
I can see
those.
About five of them right there. And now there's one or two houses.
I was just going to say, look at the houses.
Do you
up
have
there.
Any idea whose houses those are?
No, but I think that would be a great thing to look for.
Wouldn't it be fun to play
yeah,
with that?
Yeah, be.
Because those are probably still there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I imagine so,
we're looking at the Satter, S-A-T-T-E-R, S-A-T, yeah, yeah, S-A-T-T.
Satterthwaite. John Fisher Satterthwaite.
W-A-I-T-E edition under construction in the 1880s.
Yeah.
And again, the Historical Society picture. All right.
He was from Nutley, New Jersey, so that kind of explains the name.
Okay, here's a little bit bigger view of El Paso when it was more constructed. So a lot going on there. We've got pictures to show you on air today.
Uh-huh.
Bernie Sargent's in the house. We're talking all about kinds of stuff, specifically the addition and known as Sunset Heights.
Yes.
And how it got there was a contest.
It was a contest in 1899.
And it was the people who owned the property.
A $50 prize.
Oh, lots of money.
Yeah,
wow.
And four people came up with the same name, so they had to split $50.
Oh, my.
Back then it was probably a little
that
bit.
$12.50. You can buy a house with that maybe, no? Back
at
in
least a
1890.
Car.
Okay, whatever. We'll take a call here, but also Facebook. We're taking comments on the page where this is streaming live.
Yes, we are.
And we'll talk about those after the break. You got a few comments?
We've got comments going back and forth. It's a lot of fun.
Well, we'll get to those after the break, but also throw the phone number out. We have a caller on the phone, and we'll take some more calls.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
If the holidays left your bank account on injured reserve, keep listening here to get back in the game with up to 12 chances to win $1,000 every weekday. Get a grand in your hand.
Newsmax TV. Everyone is watching it now. Get the real news on President Trump on Newsmax. More than 30 million Americans tune into Newsmax TV with great shows and analysts like Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, and a lot more. Every night you can watch Newsmax's number one show, Greg Kelly Reports. Greg Kelly and Newsmax tell the big news you need to know, how big tech is censoring you, and Joe Biden's dangerous plans. You need to watch Newsmax TV. Get Newsmax on all major cable systems or check your guide. If you don't get Newsmax, call your cable operator. Tell them you want Newsmax. And remember, Newsmax is free on Roku, YouTube, Apple TV, Zumo, TiVo Plus, Pluto, Chromecast, and most smart TVs like Samsung and LG. And don't forget to download the free Newsmax TV app. All other cable news channels ask you to pay, but Newsmax's app is free. So start watching anytime, anywhere in the world.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-573-9552. That's 800-573-9552. 800-573-9552. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Need a good laugh? Then stop everything and check out the funniest new podcast of the year. I'm talking about This Is Important, the podcast featuring the comic geniuses from the hit TV show Workaholics. Hear Adam Devine, Anders Holm, Blake Anderson, and Kyle Nuhachek probe today's most important topics, like cuisine.
Are you eating sushi off of people?
Yes.
You can't do that right now.
They're sanitized.
This is hard-hitting stuff. This is important. Listen to This Is Important on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got callers on the line. We'll get to them in a minute, but I've got to tell you a bunch of stuff going on here. We also are looking at email this morning on a regular basis. We do that in the show, and it's at the ephistory690@gmail.com. If you want to send us something discreet, or if you want the world to know it, put it on the Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show. Melissa will get to those in a minute. But we also have not only that Facebook page to talk about, we're streaming live on Remember El Paso Win as well. And I think I'm putting it over my other pages. But just to let you know, we also have a YouTube.com page. That's El Paso History TV. We're not on there yet.
One more
piece of equipment and we'll get that done. But on that page, just so you know, YouTube.com, El Paso History TV, we have the El Paso Gold DVD series that I produced for 20 years. They're on there. And 20 segments of our ABC7 TV series called El Paso History TV. They're now on there as well. Starring Bernie Sargent. And we had a strange time getting those done. But
it was fun.
Got a lot of information out
there. Was
there.
A lot. Yeah, it was great fun. Well, and I got to tell you something, if I could just interject this. Last week I had the honor of participating, so to speak, with the crossover. I should say there was 12 Boy Scouts got their Eagle badge last week at Keystone. And one of the new executives from the council was there. And he's also on the Pioneer Association board because we're working with them on Camp Pioneer to develop a nice Boy Scout camp. But he came up and he said he thanked me for those videos. He said before he even moved here, he wanted to learn more about the history of El Paso, and that's where he went.
Well, you can tell your friends out there just want to know more, or yourself.
Yeah.
Because if yourself went to public school in El Paso, yourself didn't learn any of that.
No.
And, you know, Mission Trail, had no idea what a Mission Trail was. And I went through 13 years of school here, including one of UTEP. And nobody told me anything like that. So anyway, online, YouTube.com, El Paso History TV.
But I gave, you know, I said I got to give credit to Jackson and Andrew for all the help.
Well, we're the behind-the-scenes people. You can't do TV out front without a whole bunch of people behind you, and that's what we did.
It's a team effort.
Oh, it was. I'll just let you know a couple things on the documentaries there. We have somebody put a comment on the Gunfights of the Old West page. It said, James Powell, he said, left his comment, killed an innocent bystander. Oops. And... So, I mean, you learn the history because that happened. And
he's paying attention.
He was a popcorn vendor, wasn't
he? A peanut vendor.
Oh, peanut, excuse me.
Whatever
peanut.
He was, he don't make it no more. No. Anyway.
His name was Ortega, and he was a peanut vendor.
And he's not getting unemployment. Okay,
what do you got, Melissa? You got an announcement there.
Well, I also wanted to mention we've got, we've got Patrick Tuttle, and he's with Legacy Real Estate Services. And you can give him a buzz at 915-588-1850 to learn more about his excellent programs he has as a realtor and also the properties he has for rent. He does a great job. So definitely give him a call at 915-588-1850.
Buzz his pocket.
I don't want to go there.
No.
Rocket in his pocket. Okay.
I just said that because I see what you do.
Hit the button.
Oh, you got some Facebook reactions going on?
I love this one. Catnip. That's one of our Facebook followers. Catnip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she put up that she and her sister used to go to the Sunset Grocery, which is kind of like the standard. When you think of Sunset Heights, everybody always thinks of Sunset Heights Grocery. And she went there as a kid. Ray Hirado was there. Vince Sanchez's
mother was born up there.
Mark Howes wanting directions for those pictures, which was north.
Most of those from the site looking toward El Paso were basically east.
This one was looking up the hill.
Yeah, the one up the hill.
About the grading that was taken.
Yeah, the grading.
Okay, that one would have been northwest.
Yeah. Kind of sort of northwest.
And the other one would have been south and east.
Yeah.
So that's what you're looking at. And those are on the feed there if you want to see that.
Join us at Pepe's and we'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, that's
today's
right.
The day.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, hey.
Today's the day. We're
today's
going.
The day for
I'll even
Pepe's.
Take the pictures with me.
Oh, you got them. Okay, excellent. We'll have them out there. Okay, just to let you know, we have phone calls coming in. Let's talk to this dude named Roy. R-O-Y. How's it going, Roy?
Doing pretty good. How are you guys this morning?
Doing fine, Roy.
We're kind of wired up here, but we don't know why. We have coffee. I guess
well,
that's it.
You can also going to say cut down that caffeine.
Hey, I don't know.
I have a question
for Bernie.
Is this multiple choice?
Down recently, and they stated a quote-unquote bed and breakfast on Stewart Court. And my friend Kurt said that they were told that was original Radford School for girls.
Stewart Court is where?
It's south of Nevada, parallel, perpendicular to Nevada, south of it, towards the freeway.
Nevada Street. Wow,
and it
man.
Was a school for
almost
girls?
Overlooking Radford. I-10.
I don't know that one. Radford, I'm not sure what it's put. It's out there on Hastings now.
Off of, yeah.
No, it's on Radford, Radford Street.
Out there in Hastings where it is now, but I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe it was. I mean, the schools moved around. Loretto used to be in San Elizario.
Oh, yeah, that's where
it
started.
Ended up where it is now out there on, at the edge of town at the time.
I don't have an answer, but I will find out.
We'll see what happens here. Okay.
Roy, I appreciate that.
Sure.
Roy, we'll see you in the streets and to Pepe's, I suppose.
I'm going to Pepe's today.
Very good. Thanks a lot. You take
all right,
care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Only Roy would be asking about a girls' school.
Well,
shame on
maybe.
You, Roy.
6761 Donovan, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
And, boy, that was a lot of people out there. I picked up my carryout last week and zipped through and saw you guys.
Well, they had people outside waiting because they have a mandatory limit.
Yeah.
You asked me a question about when it became a historic district. It was the fifth historic district in El Paso.
You got Segundo Barrio, would have been two, I take it.
Well,
that's what Segundo Barrio means, no?
Yeah,
second ward.
The very first one is 1881, and that was Manhattan Heights.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's over on the east side.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was Manhattan Heights in 1981. You had McGoffin Historic District, 1985.
80s. So this took a while for them to do this.
They were very busy. Well, in the 80s, they actually had a historic preservation officer.
But you
in
said
town.
But you said 1980s.
19.
Wow.
Yeah, they were new. Let's see. Old San Francisco was 1983. Sunset Heights was 1986. East Letta Historic District was 1986.
Wow. Taking a break here. Got to do that. Otherwise, Andrew's going to pull the plug on us. I know he knows how to do that. And by the way, thank you, Andrew J. Polk in there doing
Yay.
The board and
Yay.
Doing the feed on Facebook for us today. He's Monday through Friday here.
We're doing,
on
we're doing a studio wave.
Hey. And this very same microphone. Andrew talks to us every day, Monday through Friday, except Monday this coming is Martin Luther King birthday, so he ain't going to be there. But normally, Monday through Friday, talk El Paso right here. And it's getting a lot of people calling in.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
He's doing a good job.
There's a lot going on there. So, Andrew J. Polk, thank you for what you do here for KTSNM. Back in a moment. Shall we see you in a minute?
Yes,
come
we
back.
Shall.
Come back.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Your business is getting back to business, but things are a little different than 6 months ago. What does that mean for your customers? And when things are constantly changing, how do you know you're making the right decisions? What you need is Research Raccoon. Research Raccoon is the easy way to learn about your customers, and it's affordable for businesses of all sizes. Here's how it works. Ask a question, and Research Raccoon polls a U.S.-based group of people to find out what they think. No having to define an audience or waiting weeks for results, just data to make smarter decisions. Think of it like a gut check for your plan to re-enter the market. That way, your first move is your best move. So before you reopen your store, reach out to your customers, or introduce yourself to a new audience, talk to Research Raccoon and get data you can use for less than you'd think. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. ResearchRaccoon.com, a little gut check for your big ideas.
2021 is the perfect time to add a healthy new habit to your daily wellness routine. Good nasal hygiene. We all know there's bad stuff in the air, allergens, bacteria, viruses, and that some of it's very dangerous. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, you can clean your nose with Navage. Your nose is the body's air filter, and with Navage, you help your body defend itself by flushing out the crud and germs. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the world's only nose cleaner with powered suction. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and it has over 40,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Join millions of Navage users to relieve congestion and allergies, breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Let 2021 be the year you start cleaning your nose with Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life. Navage.
Newsmax TV is the biggest thing on cable news, with shows including Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, and more. Every night, watch Newsmax's number one show, Greg Kelly Reports. Greg Kelly tells you the big stories you won't hear anywhere else. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide or tell your operator you want Newsmax. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV. And download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. It's free, so get Newsmax TV anytime, anywhere.
Guys, you know that new Untucked shirt you've been eyeing? Well, you can save on your favorite styles with the new winter clearance event going on right now at Untucked's 80-plus stores and Untucked.com. Untucked shirts were designed to be worn untucked. They fall at that just right length so you can feel comfortable and look sharp. Save on our top button-downs, including wrinkle-free, performance, flannels, and more. Perfect for right now. So don't wait. Save on your favorite styles on clearance today at your nearest Untucked store or at Untucked.com.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on here, feeding on Facebook, doing stuff. I want to let you know about the Celebration of the Mountains. They're cranking back up already.
Yeah.
2021, Jim's out there hiking around, and he's going to bring a program going on. He's got something today, but also he's got next Thursday, if you want to walk around Scenic Rim Road, it'll be a tour on that, January 21st, 9 a.m. Thursday, and you'll have to contact him to find out where to meet. But he's also got Saturday the 23rd, walk the Paso del Norte Playa Drain Trail. You want to walk in a drain, Bernie? Go with Jim. Jim knows how to walk in a drain.
This last week I've been totally drained.
Yeah, drain all the time. That was New Year's Eve. Saturday the 30th, he's going to walk a 1,000 steps trail from Palisades Canyon. That is not just a walk. That's a hike.
That's a hike.
Have you been on that one?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, my goodness. What they did is they took the sedimentary rocks and they flipped them down. And they became steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice layers doing their thing. You take them, you get 5, 6, 10 guys, whatever it takes, flip the rock over, it becomes a step.
Yeah.
And they did that to build it, the power line up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they did it.
Oh, that makes sense.
And they had like 20 guys on carrying a pole, and they had to kind of like go in a straight line. Otherwise, how are you gonna hike? And that's why they did that.
Jeez. No pole dancing there.
No, don't go there. Okay, what do you got over there?
Hey, I got a question. Wait a minute, one comment. When, if you go on the Rim Road, Scenic
yes.
Drive, there, Melissa's history moment talks about Mabel Welch.
Mm-hmm.
Mabel Welch has a couple of homes that she designed up there on
Rim Road,
mm-hmm.
yes.
not on Scenic.
No.
All the houses on Scenic are vacant.
Yeah, they're Mediterranean style, and they're very distinct when you drive by.
We'll get to that because that's an interesting story. What else you got? You got Mission Del Rey?
Yes, we're going to talk about souvenirs from El Paso and great gifts to take home and send to friends. Don't miss the Mission Del Rey Southwest Warehouse Showroom, one of the largest selections of rustic Southwest Western and Native American artifacts anywhere. They're beginning to restock now for 2021, and they're getting new product shipments arriving weekly, and you'll like all the new load of beautiful, unique Talavera pottery. The Mission Del Rey Southwest Warehouse is located in the Quadrant Business Center off of Lee Trevino and Pelicano, and they're now open Monday through Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And for the online shoppers, go to missiondelrey.com and shop from the comfort of your home. And please don't forget the $20 weekly show giveaway. This is available for the first five listeners each week who, when done shopping, enter the word history into the coupon code box when checking out and receive $20 coupon towards your order. And sorry, this is only good for online orders only. And if you have any more questions, call them at 915-440-2140.
You want to take a look at the map of the whole Sunset Heights district?
Sure.
We can take a look at that map. I noticed that they do go all over the place, and we'll look at it as it comes on. The map is drawn a little kind of squigglies on the edges. They go right down the alley behind Hal Marcus's house. That's not right.
I know.
You got to include Hal Marcus in Sunset Heights.
You got to do that, yeah.
Because it's Hal Marcus.
Well, considering when it was drawn, you didn't have all that there. You had some of it, but not all of it.
Okay, I want to move it a half a block include Hal Marcus's house.
Well, we're on a winning streak. Why don't we go ahead and try to get that changed?
Why, hey.
Yeah. Hey, why not? I mean, the thing is, recap, if you would, the summary of the historic district that was voted on this morning in Austin, Texas, by the Texas Historical Commission. 9-0, the vote was for what?
It was to maintain the map as it was laid out by the county with their consultants, including Duringito neighborhood. So it's not going to disrupt that whole map.
So the Duringito is now part of the historic district that they voted on this morning.
Correct.
And the city of El Paso tried to get that carved out as not historic.
Correct.
Those people should be corrected.
It's been corrected.
I can't say that word I was going to say.
Well, that little button there, yeah. You can say it, just hit it.
No,
I can't believe
it. I got to thank everybody that called in to Austin this morning to weigh in on this whole thing.
Yes.
You know, you had the county judge, Samaniego, thank you. David Stout. We had several city representatives. And one of the drivers of that train was Max Grossman. And
God bless the history of El Paso, because it needs to be maintained. If you kill it, once you kill it, it's gone.
Yeah, most of us are transplants. We came here not knowing
a lot of people,
about,
but you appreciate it. You look at it, you see what you got.
More so than El Paso.
And you know
sometimes.
What's going on.
Yeah.
You want to take a call here? You want to keep going here?
Oh, we'll take a call.
Take a call. We've got Raul on the phone. Raul's on the radio. Hey, Raul, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you all doing?
We're doing fine.
Surviving nicely. What's up?
Great. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, you had Professor David Romo on your show.
Right.
And I had asked him who he thought was the most significant Mexican-American in El Paso's history, and he mentioned Raymond Tellez. I got to meet him years ago when he was just coming back from ending his ambassadorship to Costa Rica. He was a friend of my father.
He's up on the list, absolutely,
and I
actually
got a picture of myself with him when I was a little kid. In any case, I've got a suggestion for a guest, playing off of that, Mario T. Garcia, who's a professor of Chicano studies and history at the University of California, Santa Barbara. He wrote a book years ago, and I got to see him speak at UTEP, and he gave an excellent presentation.
We're looking for excellent presentations all the time. Can you send us details on, or put it on the Facebook page, how to find him?
Yes, I'll get that to you. He wrote a book called The Making of a Mexican-American Mayor, and that talks about Raymond Tellez being the first Mexican mayor of El Paso.
It's not
and
true.
According to him, the most significant Mexican American of his time.
Okay, I got to correct. Raul, the statement is not accurate exactly. The first Mexican American mayor of El Paso was Joseph McGoffin.
Oh, well, okay.
He was born in Chihuahua. His mother was Mexican. He spoke Spanish growing up. And he fits the definition if you look up what is an Hispanic. On the other hand, he has an Irish name, so people don't count him.
No, they never count
but
him.
And point, he was born in Mexico,
and,
right?
Yeah, I mean,
Chihuahua, yeah.
One campaign ad I remember a year ago said, we had a campaign for mayor. He was the first Mexican guy born in Mexico. No, it was Joseph McGoffin. So don't forget McGoffin. Now, I'm not trying to negate Tellez. Tellez was an incredible man and did some great stuff. And I think it was John Kennedy appointed him to ambassador of Costa Rica, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was. And what was interesting about the presentation that Professor Garcia gave was the instrumental, super important role of his brother, Richard. I think his name was Richard Tellez. I'm not remember his brother's
well,
name,
let's,
but
let's,
he said it was a heck of a campaign that was waged.
Well, give me the contact info. We'll get to that. Right now, we're going to focus on Sunset Heights. We haven't even talked much about it. We've been mouthing off about this historic district issue down in Austin this morning. By the way, that is significant. Anyway, all right, give me the contact info. I'll look into that because I don't mind putting people on who know what they're talking about.
I certainly. Well, my mother grew up in Sunset Heights, and she, my mother's side of the family, were refugees from the Mexican Revolution.
Oh, yeah.
She said there were a lot of those folks there in that neighborhood at that time.
Well, there's some of the houses that could, the people who could afford a lot, they got on top of the hill, apparently.
And it was, as you know, it was close to El Paso High where my mother went to high school, and she walked to UTEP when she started college. So.
Oh, no, it's a central location.
Always,
all right,
guys,
thanks a lot, Roland.
Thank you, Roland.
You take it easy.
Take care.
Appreciate it. You see in the streets.
I have an answer in regards to Roy's question in regards to the El Paso School for Girls, and that was originally the original school for Bradford, and it was in the Sunset Heights area. Along the Rio Grande River in two homes in what is now known as the Sunset Heights area.
So I did start over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess Barbara Given Maney's grandmother attended
BGB.
Yes, she went there.
Bernie, I know you're getting started on something, but we got to take a break.
No, that's okay. That's fine.
This well, look, we're going to have to come back and knock off some of these addresses because you got some neat stuff.
I mean, Sunset Heights really drums up a lot of curiosity because there was a great dichotomy of individuals living there.
Oh, yes.
Raul mentioned the families that were coming over from Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole row of old buildings down there. They're just beautiful old houses that are still there.
There's a Porfirio Diaz Street there for a reason.
Yes.
Indeed. Okay, back in a moment. We'll take a call here on 915.
544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
When it comes to your business, there's a lot of things you know and a few things you want to learn more about fast. If you're looking for an easy and affordable way to get smarter about what your customers are thinking, you need to check out Research Raccoon. Just tell the Research Raccoons whatever your business question is. Maybe it's about a new menu item for a restaurant. Maybe it's finding out what your audience really thinks about your business name. Maybe you don't even know what questions you're supposed to be asking. Let the Research Raccoons know what's on your mind, and they'll poll potential U.S.-based customers that day, giving you clean data you can use to make smarter business decisions for less than you'd think. No matter the size of your business, Research Raccoon gives you the tools to learn at an affordable price. So discover what your business should be doing and move with confidence with Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. ResearchRaccoon.com. Fast results with big data.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-573-9552. That's 800-573-9552. 800-573-9552. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
With Merrill Guided Investing, you have the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/investing goals. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member SIPC.
iHeartRadio, with the latest info about slowing the spread in 2021.
The COVID-19 vaccine has been proven safe and effective in multiple clinical trials. Dr. Anthony Fauci says,
by the time we get to the end of March, the beginning of April, I would have hoped that we would have taken care of all of those priority and have what I call open season on vaccine.
Once all frontline healthcare workers and seniors have been vaccinated, vaccinations will become available in every community.
Everything you need to know at cdc.gov/coronavirus.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got so much to do. Let's do it. Anyway, Paso del Norte Paranormal Society hosting a drive-through fundraiser at Concordia on January 29th, 6 to 8 p.m. Can't get out of the car and put your germs on people, but you can stay in your car and drive around in the cemetery. January 29th, 6 to 8 p.m. Fundraiser, donation $10 per car. please, no big vehicle. I mean, don't drive your trailer and your RV through
there. No 18-wheelers.
Yeah, plenty of smaller the better. You drive through El Paso's most historic haunted cemetery. Oh, it's a full moonlit night.
Ooh.
You line up and meet at the entrance at Yandell, at the entrance to the cemetery on Yandell, anytime between 6 and 8 p.m. Hope to see you there. And that's a donation thing for Concordia, so that's cool. What do you got?
I'm just kind of checking with the Facebook page. We've got Angie Salazar. We've got Roy Hughes checking in with us. We have a lot of questions are being asked. Josh Rincon's on here. And he was asking, why is it so difficult to do paranormal investigations on some of these beautiful historic buildings? Well, you want to let somebody in your house.
It's up to the owner.
Yeah, it's up to the owner. It's not something that they want to do. I mean, I don't want a bunch of people trudging through my house. So.
It's not a right of yours to look into their basement with your machines.
But if you approach them correctly, they may let you in. So, I mean, maybe just the way it's approached.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay. We got a caller and get to them in just a second. But, Bernie, let's get through a couple. Vilas School.
Yes, Vilas School, designed by the Trost and Trost.
In Sunset Heights.
It was the reason that they put that school there was a gentleman by the name of Walter Nathaniel Vilas. He was actually from New York. He moved to El Paso and became very active in the community, was the school superintendent. And he looked at the population growth and said, we need to do something up here because the Sunset Heights neighborhood was growing so fast that they needed a place for the kids to go to school. I mean, they were outgrowing the school.
V-I-L-A-S.
V-I-L-A-S, okay. Yeah.
230 Lawton.
220 Lawton.
Oh, that's over there. That's too far for me to see.
We have a picture of what it looked like right after it was finished. Then we also have some color photos from Google we were able to download.
501 Fuel. Place. 501 Fuel.
Oh, 501 Fuel. You're jumping too quick for me.
Oh, I am.
Yes.
Oh, you got more to say about that?
Well, I was going to.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
No, I mean, we'll never get through all this stuff.
I know.
You got so many buildings that you cooked up. I'll go back to Vilas, whichever way you want to go.
Well, no, Vilas was an interesting individual. I mean, he was very influential in the community in a lot of different ways. Now, he ended up passing away in California, but he was buried back here in El Paso at Evergreen Cemetery.
He's not buried at the school.
No. It's not buried at the school.
That's too weird.
The school grounds. And an original picture of him is still up on the wall there at Vilas School, too.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty cool thing. And a few years ago, we got to go over there and with the kids and do a celebration dressed in our Six Guns and Shady Ladies outfits, which was a lot of fun because they are the Mustangs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. Cool school. Okay, you're talking about what now? 501 Fuel?
501 Fuel.
Let me move over to that one.
501 Fuel.
I know. I've got notes upon notes upon notes, but I'm trying to find 501.
501 is somewhere.
Who lives there?
Huh?
Who lives there?
I don't know.
Oh, where's the picture?
I don't know. There it is. There's Lawton. I mean, don't forget, this is lagging behind.
Yeah, that's
for us.
Yes.
In real time, it's correct.
Real time where he's like going,
well, should I take the call in the meantime?
Yeah, take the call.
Take the call.
We got a call from George. George has a question about Sunset Heights. George, you're on the radio. What's up?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for the show.
Sure.
Thank you.
Quick question. Two quick questions. My grandma lived in that area for over 7 years until she recently passed, but she used to tell me when I was younger, Pancho Villa used to live in that area. She lived on Prospect.
Yeah.
And she told me that he lived in that area or he stayed in that area. Is that true?
Yeah. He had a house up there. He lived in a house. I don't know if he owned it, but I know he did live there. Maybe Bernie's got that somewhere in the pile of notes here. But, yes, he was a resident at one point. See, Pancho got around. He used to work at ASARCO. He hung out with the people at Fort Bliss a lot. He jumped across the border and made people mad. It finally made him mad enough they kicked him out.
Well, didn't Huerta also live up there? Former President Huerta, I think.
I don't know.
I have to check. That's a thought.
What's your other question, George?
And the second question is just for Barney, for Bernie. I'm sorry that when I was younger, there was a house on the corner of Los Angeles and Prospect. It was red and white. I don't know what it is now because I am blind. But before I could see, and it was a beautiful, huge house. I just wonder if you knew who lived there on the corner of Las Angeles and Prospect.
Not offhand.
Well, I'm looking it up right now to see if I've got that. I probably do have that information, but I don't have it by corners. I would have it by a street.
Maybe somebody
address.
Will call in with that. What's that address again? Or corner of?
It was in the corner of Los Angeles and Prospect. It was beautiful white pillar house with red brick. Just beautiful, huge house.
All right, maybe somebody will call in. All right.
Okay.
Thanks
a lot.
We'll
check it out. Thanks.
You take care. All right, Bernie, go to the next one.
Yeah, we're still looking at fuel, huh?
I'm going to go take a break here.
Yeah, take a break here. Yeah. I'm trying to catch up with this with all my notes here as to where's what's what. Let's go. Where fuel?
Fuel, yes.
Fuel.
Can I throw in a comment real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
We have Linda looking for her name here. Okay, Linda Holguin. She came up. She says, I grew up on Los Angeles Street and was the first baby born in Providence Hospital. Today is my birthday. And we said happy birthday
to
her.
Birthday. So. Can she tell us how old she is?
We're not going to talk about that.
Oh, that's right. It's a woman. You don't talk about age, right?
You don't talk about her age.
No specific.
Only when it's 20 years younger than it really is. Yeah, so
yes. Yeah. Somehow I've lost my fuel comments. I have no fuel. What can I say? It's been known to happen. Okay, we're going to go to Upson, 649 Upson.
649 Upson. Upson is a long street. It goes all the way through Sunset Heights.
It does.
Yeah. From the UTEP area all the way downtown, basically.
And how did I lose that one, too? Okay, let me do this.
You got them here somewhere.
I do have it somewhere.
There's all kinds of notes here. What you know, we should just pick whatever your next note is.
Yeah, they're good luck on that.
Okay. But let's see. We've got here. Okay.
Oh, no, that's 1108 Upson.
The idea of Sunset Heights, let's just talk about that for a minute.
Go for it.
Sunset Heights is a very unusual neighborhood, and it's got all kinds of history.
Yeah.
What I'm amazed at is some of these buildings that they have a huge wall between the sidewalk and the front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember playing in there as a kid over there.
And alleys usually behind them, which were always, alleys. Very, common.
My mother grew
days.
Up on Nevada Street.
Oh, okay.
And the whole thing with Nevada Street was an amazing history there. A big, huge old house. We're about done for this hour, by the way. Got to tell you that coming up. You got a thought?
Shanghai Store was one that came up. A gentleman, and I'm looking for his name. I want to say Oz. He brought this up that Yang Yi, I believe, owned the store. And I can't find any
Maybe
history
somebody knows. And what's again the name of it?
It's Shanghai Store.
Okay.
So it was up in Sunset Heights. It wasn't any time. It was never the Sunset Grocery. So let us know if you
Are
know
you ready
more
for
about
the
it.
Music? Here comes the music. 3, 2, 1. Not the music yet?
No. We want us to sing.
Oh, I see. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong clock. I got two clocks in here. One's right and one's wrong, and I got the wrong one.
It's catching.
There it
is.
It's
catching.
I knew it was coming.
I just put it on my MP3.
All right, we're going to be back after the news and talk more about Sunset Ice. Bernie, get your organized notes find out. Find out whatever's on your notes. We'll go to that. We can go to that page anyway. After the news, stick with us.
We'll
got more
back.
To do, and you got Maybelle Welch top of the second hour.
Yes, we do.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita, and by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.